And now, World on Three with Mary-Anne Kennedy.
Thanks a lot, James. Well, it used to be that Old Broadcasting House was a very quiet place of a late Friday night. Just the World on Three crew and James Jolly rattling around the place. But that's certainly not the case these days. And doubly so tonight. We have awards to announce and we have Fofola in the studio. Take it away, guys. Fantastic. And Diggle from London-based Talking Drum Groovers. Fofola playing live here on World on Three. They're back a little later on for a session that promises to be a stonker. Also on tonight's programme, we're going to be making the big announcements of this year's F-Roots magazine albums of the year in the company of their esteemed editor, Ian Anderson. But let's have some music, first of all. And an album amongst the discs that's been on our radar the past couple of weeks in the office. So it's going up first, or near the top of the programme at least, to make sure it gets an airing this week. From Madagascar, this is Jean Elémien and Toliara. We'll be right back. Tulliar, a track from a new ARC label compilation, Feedback Madagascar, with a proportion of the proceeds going to reforestation projects on that unique Indian Ocean island. The album features a whole range of artists, including Jean Emilien, and playing harmonica and kabosi, a kind of Malagasy guitar, with accordion also taking the lead there in a piece inspired by the dancey energy of the southwest of the country. We're going to return to Madagascar later with the Radio 3 archive track of the night. As I said, really busy tonight with World on 3 sessions. We're often waylaying artists passing through on tour. Sometimes, you know, like Shondorgo last week, fantastic set from there, pretty much after jumping off stage into the car across town to make it into the Broadcasting House studios. But tonight we're on home turf with a quintet based here in London. And there's an honourable line of bands led from the back line in rock and pop, jazz and world music alike, and Fofula is one of them. Their blend of West African sabar talking drums, praise song vocals, jazz, funk and dub will get things jumping here in the studio, as you heard with their little opening track. And jumping with excitement and anticipation internally within the serene exterior of magazine editor, of course, is Efroot's Ian Anderson, because tonight is the big reveal, the announcement of this year's Critics' Poll Efroot's Album of the Year. And you were taken back there with that track to yes. Madagascar before we get into everything else. A chap that you watched in action.
Yeah, because I used to go to Madagascar a lot and I knew him very well. He was fantastically dynamic live with that little cabos, little square Bo Diddley type guitar. And Tulliar, the track that's named after, a fantastic place, like the Wild West.
So that really sums up what his music was about and what that particular part of the island is about.
Lots of energy, yeah.
Well, we are at that time of year. It's like the beginning of the award season, and Efroot's is in there first. And you have three categories. And your own.
Yeah.
The editor's pick. We'll come to that at some point. But there's the album of the year. There's the award that kind of recognises that, especially in world and roots music, there's a lot of bringing things back or representing and showcasing vintage or really unusual things. So there's the reissue or compilation of the year. And there's also the most beautifully packaged album. And we'll talk a little bit about that shortly. But before we get into the first one that we're going to play, I want to know a little bit about how the albums are decided on, because you call it the Critics' Poll, and it is a pretty broad academy or group of judges, or however you want to describe it.
I think it's probably the largest. It's twice the size of the panel that they have for the Folk Awards, for example, but it's international, so you'd kind of expect that. It's mostly...
So you're talking, about 300 folks?
About 300 we ask. I mean, they don't all vote, but, you know, we get the sort of thing that will be healthy in a general election. You know? And it's DJs, it's musicians, it's writers, it's record company people who aren't allowed to vote for their own stuff. Nobody's allowed to vote for their own stuff. And basically... in different categories, they pick different amounts, but in the main one for the new album of the year, they just throw at us six choices. They're not placed, so everything that anybody votes for gets 1 point, and then our wonderful Caroline Walker has to sit there at a computer and add them all up every year.
And year after year, is there a kind of pattern? Do you find that there's a lot of common ground do these 300 give you a really wide scatter that means that there is a genuine representation across the landscape?
Partly because, obviously, some people have specialities, which is interesting in its own right. A lot of people have broad tastes. So, I mean, you get some people who are only folkies and some people who are the world music people, but actually you'd be surprised how many people's tastes, like yours, you know, and mine, go across everything. But in terms of what wins, some years, you know, you get a really obvious one by a wide, wide margin. And other years, it's neck and neck. And this year's was actually one of the tight neck and neck ones. It's not that many votes separate the top placings.
Okay,
but it's very definitive because there's so many people vote, you know.
Okay, well, we're going to go through the top three for the for the main award for the album of the year. But first of all, let's turn to the best reissue or compilation. I have to say, I'm quite chuffed to see this one because we played this last week actually on World on Three, and just delving through the presentation of the music and the story behind it. I think this is where reissues and vintage compilations come into their own. You're telling not just you're not just playing the music, but you're actually telling a story and a part of history of a country and a particular genre. And this one did it for me.
Yeah, I mean, this applies. There's been a lot of these sorts of records, but there are certain classic bands, and over the years they've been served by sort of individual album reissues. But there's something about a really well put together compilation, two CDs, that works through a whole particular period in the life of a band, but not just like hits a straightforward reissue of an album and put together with loving care.
So it's a really well curated album, but the band itself that it's showcasing is something special,
yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. So I mean, this is a West African band. I think we can reveal that much at this point. There are a handful of absolutely classic West African bands like Bembeya Jazz and the Super Rail Band and Etoile de Dakar, for example. And this is one of the other great Malian bands, Les Ambassadeurs, who, you know, with Salif Keita as one of their early singers and so on. Absolute classic stuff.
And can you, I mean, it's not just your choice, but you've got the overview on this. Can you identify what brings this one out above all the others?
Well,
end up voting?
In the reissue section, this one won by a huge margin, whereas the new albums was quite tight. This one was way out there. It was a no contest from the moment the vote started coming in. I think it helped that they toured again this year. The band, it wasn't the original band, because a lot of the original members, like Kante Manfila, the classic original guitarist, are no longer with us. But, you know, they did WOMAD and they did Around Europe, and that helped.
Well, let's hear part of why this album is Efrut's reissue and compilation category album of the year. To actually get the whole package, you'd have to go and read everything that goes in along with the album. That's part of the whole thing, but of course at the heart of it all is the music. Les Ambassadeurs and Mana Mana.
Malina Munana, Malina Munana, Malina Munana.
A beautiful showcase of an amazing band, Les Ambassadeurs du Motel de Bamako on Sterns, and that wins the reissue compilation category of this year's F-Roots Critics Poll. Ian Anderson, the editor of the magazine, is with me here for the big announcements. Now, you said Les Ambassadeurs, this particular album was way out in front, but the main award, the album of the year, is a lot tighter. So we're actually going to play third, second, and first place, which is probably quite fair given that the votes are so close this year.
I have to say that 4 and 5 were very close on their tails as well.
And you can actually see the top 10 and actually going on beyond into a lot of the sort of long list as well in the magazine.
In the next issue of the magazine, which goes out to subscribers and online on Tuesday, there's about the top 50 in there. And actually, people will be able to see it on our website from tomorrow morning. Not sure. I won't say a time because it depends on what times the elves get up to put it online. But at some point tomorrow morning, you can look at our website and see the whole lot.
The World on Three elves could tweet us just now if they fancied at BBC Radio 3 with the World on Three hashtag, and they can flag up some of their top albums of 2014. We'd love to hear from you, and we can have a look, see if they're in line with that 300 strong critics lineup polling for this year's F-Roots Awards. Now, so the principal award is a big mixture across the sort of what you would once have considered the kind of world music scene and the folk roots music scene, although it's much more sort of mixed these days, but also a kind of mixture usually every year of debut albums, emerging establishing acts, and venerable long-time established acts. How does it figure this year?
Well, the last 2 years it's been won by debut albums. Catherine Finch and Seku Keita last year, and Sam Lee the year before that.
So those absolutely beautiful albums.
This year is it's established albums, but not necessarily in the way people have done it before, without giving too much away. Some people with long careers, but mixing up with people who've got short careers and stuff like that. I mean, I just mentioned that number four, Josiane Clarke and Ben Walker, they've had records before, but to most people, they'd be newcomers to the folk scene. So they're up there. But we're going to do number three, yes?
Yeah, and I suppose this, if you don't think of folk music as being something that belongs in people's minds to the British Isles, I suppose this album really kind of fulfills folk sensibility and a world music sensibility when you think about it.
Especially for those people who think that, you know, folk singer's a bloke with an acoustic guitar. This is a bloke with an acoustic guitar, so he's a folk singer, right? You know, number one rule passed. Very interesting. This is Aurelio, who's from Belize, one of the main stalwarts of the Garifuna music scene. But what's been interesting is that a couple of years back he was mentored by Youssou N'Dour, as part of the scheme by a famous watch company who we're probably not allowed to mention on the wireless.
But a great opportunity for him to find his way into the music industry.
Exactly. But what I find interesting about this record is that he doesn't sound like Youssou, but he sounds quite a lot like somebody closely connected with Youssou, which is Sheik Lowe. Now, I notice that all the time, and the odd thing is I've never seen it mentioned in a review by anybody, but every time I hear Aurelio record, I think, oh, there's a lot of Sheik Lowe in there. So I'd be interested to know if he's an admirer of the man from his days with Youssou. But anyway, it's a lovely record.
Yeah, and I suppose people mostly, when they think about Aurelio and the music of the Garifuna, they're thinking about his friend and previous mentor, Andy Palacio.
Yes, of course.
And this album has something special about it. A mentor going even further back, as far back as it's possible to go, basically, because this takes him to his home village and to the first musician that he would have encountered, basically, before he was even born, because, of course, it's his mother.
Yeah, but also, I mean, a lot of people, I think, wouldn't have imagined him filling Andy Palacio's shoes. And, well, you can't do that, but I think he's become good in his own right.
Like you say, he does it on his own terms, and this is what brings him into third place in this year's Album of the Year. This is Aurelio from his album, Landini. From Honduras, Aurelio upholding the Garifuna traditions of his mother Maria and friend and mentor Andy Palacio. That was from Landini, a title inspired by the wee jetties where he used to watch local fishermen land their catch. And the album also netted him third place in the Efrut's Critics Poll Album of the Year. Ian Anderson will be back in a little while with more of the winners here on World on Three with me, Marianne Kennedy. It'll be interesting to see if those critics' choices match your own favourites for 2014. Do tweet at BBC Radio 3 with the World on 3 hashtag and let us know what your top choices were. Meantime, we have live music here in the studio tonight. A London-based quintet with the rhythms of the Senegalese and Gambian Sabar talking drums as their music's heartbeat. But as befits a band who got together in such a cosmopolitan city, the flavours that are to be found in Fofola's musical stew are the epitome of eclectic. From the praise song tradition of West African Bifal Islam to electronica, dub, jazz, improv and Afro-rock. Let's start out then with Fofola B.
Music be mom vovula. Halam gi mom vovula. Guitar gi mom vovula. Itama gi mom vovula.
Fantastic stuff. Fofula playing live in the Broadcasting House studios here for World on Three. Batch Gay's vocals soaring over the other big voices in the band. The drums, the Western kit, and Sabar talking drums. And I'm going to get the two drummers over here at the moment sitting there being terribly well behaved. But Dave Smith and Kyle Seca, come over here and join me at the table. What a fantastic start to the session.
Thanks.
It's I've spoken before in the programme, actually, about bands that are kind of led from the back line. There's an honourable line of drummers taking the lead, and you guys are following very much in that kind of pattern. Tell me, first of all, a little bit about that most distinctive sound about the Sabar talking drums.
Yeah, the talking drum is like a leading drum, and it goes different sounds, as you can hear when we play different vocals on the rhythm, and it leads always on a high pitch, but it's spoken, it talks a lot. That's why they call it talking drum.
So do you think of it as being a voice as much as an instrument?
Yes, more than a voice.
That's definitely a drummer talking. Yeah. Dave, will you introduce us to the lineup of the band
Sure.
here? I said a quintet, but there's actually six
We've
of you.
We've got Batch Gay there on vocals, Phil Stevenson on guitar, Johnny Briley on bass, Tom Challenger on keys and sax a bit later. Cal Secker here on Sabah, and myself, Dave Smith, on drum kit.
And where did your fascination for the Sabah drums come from?
Well, I was in my last year at college in London, and I was lucky enough to join a group of students on a West African music course in the Gambia. And I stayed for 3 weeks in a village where Cal is from. Cal was living in Sweden at the time. And I studied with his dad and some other drummers in the village called Jawara. And then I've been making return trips, sometimes supervising students and kind of making the trip longer and staying in the village and studying Sabah. I took a drum kit over and started jamming some beats with the guys and doing more research in London with Barak Schmall, and yeah, it kind of led to a big collaboration which happened in 2007 with a band that me, Tom and Johnny playing called Outhouse. And that project was with Cal and four other drummers from Jawara, and that was called Outhouse Ruhabi. And that was more of a jazz mix with Sabah drums, but we were still writing the music from the drums. So this London-based band now, Fofola, formed with these kind of ideas of writing rhythms and guitar lines and bass lines using the family of drums. Because in the Sabah ensemble, you've got lots of different drums, like five or six different drums in a standard Sabah group, and they all have a different role. And like in Balak music, the bass has taken the Tungane part and the guitar has taken the Bala part, and we've done a similar thing to Mbala music.
You've translated it in a different way.
Yeah, that's a starting point anyway.
Cal, you have this conversation going inside the band between the Western kit drum and your own Sabah drums. How difficult is it to get the two of them talking together in a way that finds a groove that's happy on both sides?
The thing is, like, I would say, first of all, music is music. You understand? And it comes in a way that drum is a drum. You understand? But in a different style, or in African or Western, but all is drum. You know what I mean? So when the beat comes up, when he start playing, and I can listen and hear the beat, of course the timing. Once he start playing, and I can hear what he's doing, and I can click into that with the meaning as well, what it means, like, you know, just play. You know what I mean, every playing has a meaning. So,
I'm sorry to laugh there, Cal.
It's
but
cool.
That's a classic Cal quote. Music is music, and it's what his dad taught me as well. It's just Cal's accent's brilliant when he says that. Anyway, sorry.
So
I had to apologise. but there's a lot of rhythms that there's a language, that, you know, which we share.
So
and we've developed.
What was Ebu Seka, your dad's? What is his approach to teaching his kind of music to people from outside the tradition? Is it that do you get that from your dad? Music it's is from, music, full stop.
It's like really related to dance and you know what the dancer's doing and this what the drummers, how they communicate, and the grooves are really quite odd to Western ear. When I first went there, I had to throw down the stick. I was just like, when I looked at the dancer's feet, I just didn't know where. My beat one was a different thing. So it's like undoing some things there and understanding that you've got downbeats that are high sounds and offbeats that are low sounds. And this and what's great is that just that idea throws the music up in the air. And so that's what we've done. And we've taken these kind of traditional hooks, like Ibu was teaching very traditional rhythms, like old mm-hmm. rhythms, but the fundamental rhythm in Wolof music is the same. It's this bala rhythm, which is just a, you can hear it in all the styles basically.
So music is music, but there's more to it than that.
Music is music, and music can be magical as well.
The name of the band Fofola, that's a Wolof word as well. What does it mean?
It's there.
It's there.
It came on when we start working together, like just as Dave said, and then we work out in the rhythm that we think I might think is right, and Dave might think is not right, and then now when we all agree that it's right now, it's there. That means Fofola.
Great. Well, I shall let you be there, back in amongst the band just now, and get yourselves set up for the next track. And this also appears on their debut album. Fantastic album it is too. This is called No Troubles, and I suppose it's a song that kind of sums up the band's ethos. Let's join together, leave conflict, and work together. There is peace in the community. This is Fofola then, and No Troubles. Thank you. Fantastic stuff from Fofula. And I have to say, the floor show, the dancing's pretty good as well. I have to tell you that since it's radio. But here they are playing live on World on 3, and they're back a little later on. So do stick around for that. And of course, we have more Efroots Awards imminent. The magazine's boss, Ian Anderson, is back after two more winning names to give away after this next track from one of the most idiosyncratic of bands in a folk tradition that has no fears, it looks like, in terms of breaking boundaries and exploring new connections from their folk roots. Finland's Sväng are that most unlikely of combinations, a harmonica quartet, from the wee palm-sized creature that most of us are familiar with to the big bass beast that you couldn't really call pocket-sized with the best will in the world. This track comes from their album Karjala, named after the Karelia cross-border Russian-Finnish region that gave rise to Finnish cultural totems like the Kantala zither and the epic poetry of the Kalevala. This set, though, gives a nod to the village of Jepwa, where the fiddle tradition has an identity all of its own. The Svängbys, they describe it as robust and anarchic, so you can understand why they'd be drawn in.
Färdiga. Ett, två, tre. Thank you.
Svein with a march and minuet from Diepowa, and thanks from them to the wonderful Finnish accordionist Maria Kalaniemi, who introduced them to the music. You're listening to Mary Ann Kennedy and World on Three, with archive delights still to come from the BBC Radio 3 World Music Vaults, and a heritage track from our session guest Svofula. Their response to our invitation to bring in something special to share with you all here on World on Three, whether it's music that's made a connection with them or belongs to the roots of their own music, something they grew up with, or a treasured rarity that takes pride of place in their own listening collection. Everybody has different ideas as to what that heritage track should be, so be sure to stay with us to find out what Svofula have brought to the table tonight. With me for the whole show tonight as well, of course, is Ian Anderson from F Roots magazine, with the announcement of the Critics' Poll Albums of the Year. We've already heard the reissue of the year, and this next one is interesting, the Best Packaged Album of the Year, a reactionary award if ever I came across one, Ian, but one of which I completely approve. There's something special about having the thing in your paw.
It's an artistic award, not a reactionary award. I mean, you know, this stuff that we're in, it's not kind of ephemeral throwaway stuff. There's a lot of art and information and what have you that goes with the music, which you don't get with a download or, you know, whatever. And I think what a lot of people have discovered these days is if you want people to go out and buy a physical record, you have to go the extra mile. And packaging has just got so much better since the days when, you know, the CD was just like an LP cover reduced down. You couldn't read it. The artwork was just awful. And it was a horrible plastic
jewel box that fell apart within
awful
2 minutes.
Things. And, you know, most of the records, if you look through the whole Critics Poll, you know, the new albums, the most of them are really nice digipacks, really well done, good art. It's an artefact in its own right.
Yeah, and there are some bands, like in previous years, I remember the She, for instance, last year had every single cover.
That's
which
right.
had been designed by one of the band. Every single one was unique. Yeah. It was the same idea, but just came out slightly different every time. I thought that was gorgeous, and it was very, very simple. Just a little fold-in. It was ephemeral, actually, on that level. It was very fragile.
Lily Ashley did it, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah, she did
but,
a good job on that.
The winner of this particular award this year is kind of at the other end of the spectrum. It's almost a book that comes with a CD rather than...
Or two CDs, rather than CDs that comes with a book. Beautiful art. loads and loads of information, which is great if you're Basque. The great thing about this is there is no concessions to the international market at all. It came out... It came out in the Basque country, which just happens to be somewhere near Spain. You know, the notes aren't even in Spanish. And yet it's such a beautiful object that when you get it, you want to keep it and put it on your shelves. You're not going to.
It is uncompromising in its Basqueness. Well, in its language, and I completely understand, as a mother tongue Gaelic speaker, the whole politics and the need to assert your own side of your culture and your language, as well as thinking about how and or if you want to make concessions to an outside audience. But like you say, this book, and we should describe it. I mean, it's about four times the size of a normal CD cover, a little hardback book, packed to the gunnels, Kepa Junkara with a whole range of other Basque musicians.
You name them, they're on there.
The images are beautiful. Yeah. There's photography, there's painting, there's collage, there's computer generated stuff. It's an amazing thing.
And by the way, you know, it wouldn't matter if the records were awful, but the other reason you want to keep it is because the records are great. You know, if you want a great advert for a localized tradition in Europe, this is one. And you just think of, you know, they could do something like this from, say, Puglia in Italy, from, you know, somebody like Anna Cinzia Villani could do something like that down there with all the, you know, it gives a... I just can't imagine what other people are going to pick up ideas like this and run with it. I hope they do anyway.
It's a beautiful thing, and like you say, it sounds fantastic as well, as you would expect with Kepa and Friends. Here he is with one of the tracks from that double CD collection, also featuring the wonderful piper Suzanne Sevian. ¶¶ Galizaku Manierak, Kepa Junkera, Piper, Suzanne Sivian and other friends from Kepa's Galiza on the Fall Musica label. A gloriously presented double album and worthy winner of the Best Packaged Album of the Year in the Efroots Magazine Awards. So, to the runner-up, Ian Anderson, in the main event, Album of the Year. First of all, we have to make mention of... maybe a little theme that's coming through here, that, that there is definitely a, something of the parent and child about this year's awards,
we're,
possibly.
We're entering that zone.
Yes, getting into, I'm not giving it all away just yet, territory.
The thing I want to say about this is I can't believe this has happened in a way. We've been doing this critics poll for 29 years, and I think over the last 20 years, one of these two people has been in the nominees quite often second. On this occasion, now his eighth time without actually winning. And it's like every time, surely he's going to win this year. And unfortunately, to Manny Djibouti, I'm afraid, a very close second with his son Siddiqui.
Very, very close.
But fantastic record.
Absolutely beautiful. And this is one of those examples where... undoubtedly, the music is just beautiful. It's wonderful stuff. But behind the recording also is a pretty powerful production lineup. You have Nick Gould, you have Jerry Boys, you have Lucy Duran, and that must have an impact when you have something as strong as that on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, and they've been working together for now two centuries. if you want to look at it,
I'm
that
glad
way.
You said that.
But I remember when Toumani first came to London in 1986, when he was very, very young, with a Malian guitarist called Usman Sacco, and he was already brilliant then. And Lucy took him under her wing, and then Joe Boyd got in there and did the did his first solo record and those things with Ketama, and it's been going on all these different wonderful combinations of stuff that he's had. He's taken the Cora, you know, somewhere. He is undoubtedly now to the Cora what Ravi Shankar was to the sitar, you know, the household name in this tradition.
And I mentioned father and son there, but really you're not just talking two generations, but a third generation, a generation further back as well, because a lot of the music that Toumani and Siddiqui are playing on this particular album goes back to Toumani's own father
and, Siddiqui,
and
yeah.
Unusual, kind of slightly obscure, that's their own description, melodies and songs, as well as some Malian classics. So you're talking three generations
here.
You're talking griot, you're talking
or whatever,
70,
but
tangibly and within a kind of recording memory, because
myself and Lucy were involved in, we did an album of the Siddiqui Djibouti Ensemble again in the 80s when they came over, which was Siddiqui Senior and Toumani, which is a wonderful thing.
And maybe yet we'll get that hip-hop side of Siddiqui coming into playing with father and son. Let's have the Cora, though, taking front and centre. Toumani and Siddiqui.
Thank you.
Tumani and Siddiqui Jabati and on World Circuit, and they are the runners-up in the F-Roots Critics Poll for 2014. Before, we heard Kepa Junkera from the Best Packaged Album of the Year, and of course, pointing out, Andrew Cronshaw has just been in touch to point out that, of course, yes, Basque musicians, but making the connections with Galicia with this particular double album. The big one, the Album of the Year, that announcement's still to come. Stay with me, Mary Ann Kennedy and F-Roots editor Ian Anderson here on World on Three. Not that you could do anything else with our other guests, Fofula, limbering up next door in the green room for the second part of their session tonight. And do get in touch. You can tweet us at BBC Radio 3 with the World on Three hashtag. And thanks also to the F-Roots social media crew, Stephen Carmen Hunt in particular, who are keeping the tweets going online here tonight for World on Three. Thank you very much. Let us turn then to Fofula, and they come bearing gifts tonight. Part of our Commonwealth Connection series here in World on Three at the beginning of the year was the heritage track, music that represented something vital about culture, history or upbringing for artists and sports people from different parts of the Commonwealth. And we did love what that brought to the musical mix here in the programme. So the challenge now goes out to our session guests each week. And like I said, it could be anything, something from the family archives, music as political commentary from key moments in history, an icon of a particular genre, an unheard, unreleased gem, but something that's got a special resonance for the band or singer and that we might not otherwise get a chance to hear. So tonight's choice from Fofula goes back to Senegal, as you might expect, and the generation that followed in the footsteps of the world music superstar Youssou N'Dour. Dave Smith, tell us what you've picked and why.
Well, this track is from an amazing compilation called Streets of Dakar, which I first heard in, must be just over 10 years ago. And, yeah, I mean, Cow and Batch are sort of steeped in this Mbalax tradition. They hold that music really dear to their hearts, and it's been one of the inspirations for us. Like I was saying earlier, how the different drums are kind of put on different instruments, and it's kind of, there's this rhythmic harmony that the drum ensemble has, and in Mbalax music, you have, you know, harmony, keyboards, bass, and the way this particular track, I almost wish like all Mbalax music was as good as this, because it has all of those rhythmic elements and this kind of beautiful harmony and instrumentation, lots of West African instruments, amazing singing. There's the spoken word tradition of sabar drumming in there. You'll hear how the proverbs and the spoken rhythms translate onto the drums. It's got a bit of everything, I guess. And it's really... It took me ages to work out where the beat was, but it doesn't really matter. You just let it, you know, just lie back and let it all kind of
so
flow
if,
over
if you,
you
take it back to the sort of beginnings, the roots of Mbalax music, and where you guys are today, I suppose these tracks are the kind of transition between one and t'other. Is that
yeah,
a way of putting
it? I mean,
it?
Fofula's got lots of other influences as
sure.
well, and it kind of. You know, for us, they're starting points. So as soon as you know, from that route, we establish a centre point where then we, you know, develop the music with all sorts of influences. But yeah, it's got a similar kind of ethos and integration of music.
Well, let's have a listen then. Yeah. This is Badasek and Ngua from Generation Bulfali. A sec from Génération Boulefalé, a cassette released back in 1997, subsequently part of Stern's Africa's Streets of Dakar compilation in 1999. There's more archive glory to come on World on Three tonight with a recording from Madagascar featuring two of the big names in Malagasy music. But having heard their heritage track choice, let's carry on with more live music from our session guests, Fofola. And this next song is going to be Make Good.
Thank you.
make good, Sumala. We have Fofula playing live for us here in Broadcasting House Studio 80A here on World on 3. And Dave and Kyle are going to come back to the table here. And this time they're going to be joined by Bachke, the singer with the band, as important a voice. I know that Kyle would tell you that the drum is the voice in the band, but the vocals, you have to admit, do have their place there as well. And actually, we see you here, Batch, wearing the traditional multicoloured clothes of the Bifal, and it's apparent from the songs when you read the lyrics that this ethos very much comes through in the songs. Tell us just a little bit about how that feeds into the music of Fofula.
How it feeds, because what Fofula are playing is wonderful. I don't write a song. I use my heart. Always, all my song. I never take a pen, say I'm going to write this song. And I cannot do it. If I try to do it, I will make it wrong. But since you play, I heard it. It's just what has come out. I don't even know where it's come from. It's just like sometimes people have some gift. I am not saying it like I am the best, but I got a gift and I accept it.
And the Bifal are a part of a Sufi brotherhood for whom work and music very much are part of how you express your connection with your God. So playing in a band like Fofula must make a lot of sense then.
Yes, make a lot of sense, because Bifal, we are here for mission. We don't care about ourselves. We care about people. How to help them, how to talk to them, how to... Because we say, like, by far saying it, you have to have three ways to talk and three ways to walk. Because three ways to talk and three ways to walk, I think everybody should have it. Because you have a mom, you have dad, you have friend, you have sister. But the way you talk to your mom is different the way you talk to your dad. But the way you talk to your friend, you can become, yeah, hello, what's up? You cannot talk to your dad like that. So everything is, you should have free. That's Bifal got all of that. So anyone who come, they will accept you and very open mind. And that's why we wear this one. When we wear this kind of stuff, it means like we are open. You don't be afraid to talk to us anything you want. You will be there.
That seems to make a lot of sense, Dave, in terms of how you approach the music as a whole then.
Yeah, I guess there's no kind of limits, and there's a very kind of, there's a family feeling about this band, and there's a big collaboration, and everyone has an equal part in the makeup of the music and its history. So yeah, but it's great to hear Batch talking about this stuff. It really, really resonates.
Now, we are running short of time, as always. 2 hours is never long enough. But Kyle, I just wanted to ask you one more question about the Sabar drums, because you have a language for describing how the rhythms and everything play out on the drums, but you've got a way of speaking that. Just tell us a little bit about that.
I will start from saying in the pitches, like the way you slap the drums, because you have like the tone like pin, and then you have slap bah, and then you have the bass, which is called gin. So pin bah gin.
So if you were going to articulate a melody or a rhythm, can you give us a wee example of how that would turn out?
Yeah, I'll come back to the album, as I said in the album, like the clean up, and I said the one that clean, it cleans until it's shiny. When it's clean, it's not need like to look at it. When you look at it, is you know it's clean. And when it's not clean, you will know this is not clean, definitely. So that's why I said rahas akikaman yai rahas bamuset rahas akikaman. There's a rakit paket get ratakit takit rakit paket get. So that's it. He said, like, when you clean, of course, you have to clean it properly, until it's shiny. When it's clean, it's always shiny.
See, I finally managed to get the drummers to sing and acknowledge that actually it's really all about voices. No, seriously, Fofola just in fantastic form tonight, and we're going to get one more set from them, and this is the Big Beast number from the album 7 Minutes of Pure Joy. This is the live version then of Reality Wreck.
I'm not gonna lie.
Wow, thanks a million to Fofula. They're gigging next week, Birmingham, Truro, Bristol, Brixton, Headford, World on 3 on the Radio 3 website. And all the links are there, as well as tonight's playlist. And of course, connections to the Radio 3 World Music Archive, which we'll be dipping into, hopefully, before the end of the show tonight. F-Root's Ian Anderson is with us tonight, making the big announcements on this year's albums of the year. But before we do the big reveal for the big one, Ian, quick look forward to 2015. What are you seeing as being the big flavour for next year?
Well, of course, I haven't got a clue. If the truth be known, who knows what's just around the corner in terms of...
I suspect you're going to tell me that instrumental is the new black.
Yes, absolutely. Shall we go for that?
Let's say it here now.
It's impossible to say what's going to come out record-wise in the next year that's going to blow us all away, or who's going to be available to come on tour, because the big problem with world music since the recession has been that people can't tour on the whole. So it's great we have bands like Fofula right here in the UK. Otherwise, we'd be much poorer for music from other places. But something going on here, which I actually think is a thing at the moment, is English instrumental music that's kind of slightly rooted in tradition and other bits and pieces and going somewhere. It really dawned on me when I saw a concert in the Homegrown Festival in Bury in October, when they put two English instrumental bands on one after the other, which most folk fest and organisers would tell you is madness. You don't do that.
That's totally against programmers' etiquette, isn't it?
And it was the best gig of the year. And it was Leverett, which is the new group of Andy Cutting and Sam Sweeney and Rob Harbron. And it was the Mighty Spyro, who are on really good form. And there's a bunch of other bands around, like Gadarene. There's Catherine Tickell's current group, who are very interesting. But there's just suddenly a lot of it about, and nobody is thinking it's weird that nobody's singing.
You are, of course, talking to someone who week in, week out here on World on 3 says that there is nothing to beat voices on their own in harmony. But I will go with you there, that there is something very special when an instrumental band can hold the attention of a whole album, a whole gig, a whole room with not a word being sung.
But this is specifically an English thing, because we're very used to hearing lots of great Scottish and Irish bands playing jigs and reels very, very fast, mainly to each other. But this is something different. It's a listening music. It's coming from somewhere different.
I'm not going to let you have that. We don't just play jigs and reels. And the ones that play them too fast are missing the swing and they're missing the ballast. We can do that too. But I will let you have that tonight. I will let you have that tonight. And especially with these guys. This is Leverett. Thank you. fantastic, a musical conversation if ever there was one. Andy Cutting, Sam Sweeney and Rob Harbron, Leverett from the new album, Knew Anything, and definitely something to be kept an eye on in 2015. But Ian Anderson, very nearly that time,
yes,
for the big one, the Critics Poll Album of the Year. But before we quite get there, two words for your own particular little corner of being able to indulge and say the editor's choice for this year.
Oh, yeah, all the other magazines, they have like one or two people pick their album of the year and they give them an award. So I thought, why shouldn't I do that? But the stuff that often gets missed is on the kind of micro independent label. So every year for the last few years, I've picked one on a tiny, tiny artist run label. And this year, I just thought one of the most refreshing things I heard all year was this band called Stick in the Wheel, who are just, they're nothing like punk at all, but they have that thing of energy and singing in your own voice. No silly folky voices, no fakery. They sound like where they come from. It's like East London, you know. They're great. They're really good.
Fantastic. Right, let's cut to the chase. We mentioned that parent and child thing with Toumani and Siddiqui. Is that the flavour that's running through the awards this year?
I think it is. So I'm actually wondering who's the parent and who's the child here these days. But yes, Album of the Year, Efforts Critics Poll, Album of the Year 2014, to Martin and Eliza Carthy for The Moral of the Elephant.
Now, two names, one family that we've known, it seems like, forever and ever in terms of English folk. But this actually, in terms of recording, although they've recorded as a family, they've recorded individually. Eliza's won the award before. They've won it as a family before, but they've never done the father and daughter thing.
No. Why did it take them so long?
Is there something in particular? Personally, I loved The Gift. The mother and daughter thing was just something very, very special in terms of recording for me. I'm not a woman's woman, you know, the whole girly thing doesn't do it oftentimes for me, but there was something very, very special, very special about that. But father and daughter.
Yes, but it's blood, it's family, it's like sibling duos, it's like the Everly Brothers, it's like, you know, father and daughter, mother. It's the same. There is something special goes on there, which is beyond just
musicians. Mother and daughter and father and daughter are very different dynamics, though.
Yeah, but it's still there. It's in the blood. It's beyond telepathy, I think.
Well, let's hear what that translates as then. Congratulations indeed to Martin and Eliza Carthy for The Moral of the Elephant Album of the Year, and here they are with Waking Dreams.
Faithless. echo, and you were nothing that I could call dear. I love this face.
Just beautiful. Congratulations once again to the F-Roots Critic Poll winner of Album of the Year, Martin and Eliza Carthy, and The Moral of the Elephant. Thanks too to our guests tonight, Fofola, to Martin Webb, Andy Fell and James Birtwistle in the studio, and producer James Parkin. I'm Mary-Anne Kennedy. You've been listening to World on 3. Lopa Kotari's back with you next week with the London Klezmer Quartet in session. Now, we started the show with a track from Madagascar, and it set us off in the direction of the choice of tonight's gem from the Radio 3 World Music Archive to finish off tonight's programme. Music recorded in situ, sometimes in the most intimate of settings, sometimes the most spectacular, and always live, capturing some really special moments. Tonight's track was recorded in the Victory Hotel in southern Madagascar in September 2009 and features the master of the Malagasy bamboo zither, the Valley, Justin Valley, and his good friend, passionate explorer of Madagascar's music for more than four decades, and brother of Kate, Paddy Bush. Here they are, playing very appropriately Veloma, a song of farewell recorded at the end of the Radio 3 trip to Madagascar in Paddy's room at the Victory. Good night.